Let's jump into a lesson today. I think will be timely, even with what we watched and received from Jonathan, and that is the idea of being contagious Christians. We're all very well aware of what contagion is and what it means for, you know, I remember as a kid, you knew about germs, but now our knowledge or awareness of germs is very heightened. Hopefully the highest point it will ever be, right? Hopefully this is the worst. And something we'll tell our kids and grandkids in the future, but we're all aware of something being contagious. And the truth is, if you look back in Scripture in the book of Acts, you see that Christianity was contagious. We see that it started on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, with 3,000 converted that day. Talk about a mega church right out of the gate, 3,000. And then before you know it, there's 5,000 men in the congregation. You're looking at probably 15,000 plus at that point, people, how we would count attendance. And so it just continued to grow, and more grew. And the fact is that number grew from 12. And it really grew from one, Jesus Christ. But 12 men, 12 apostles, right? And the gospel spread. And so Matthew 28:19 tells us, why did it spread so much? Well, the one who started it, Jesus, said, you go make followers everywhere. And they did. In fact, there was a time, there were so many Christians in Jerusalem. Remember, if you remember reading in Acts, there was great persecution broke out, and the Christians spread because of persecution, which was a hardship. But when they spread, guess what else spread? The gospel. It went everywhere. All the way here 2,000 years later, here we are in Oklahoma, USA, and it's been here for a while. And we continue to worship God. And what I remind you this morning is we continue to have something that is supposed to spread. Our faith. Our faith is supposed to be contagious. We need to be talking about how good God is, don't we? There's a lot of talk in the world right now. The world needs to hear how good God is. They need to hear about a Savior. They need to hear about a God that sent His Son to die for us. That's what they need to hear about. So, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. I want to look at a story here in John chapter 9. We'll go pretty fast with this. So, in John 8, Jesus had been at the temple, and He gets into this heated argument with the Pharisees there. And so it becomes so heated, I don't mean a yelling match, I mean just so contentious, that they pick up stones to kill Jesus. In other words, that was about to happen. And if it had been anyone else, it would have happened. But Jesus, as Scripture says in John 8, Jesus hid Himself. I don't know how He did it. I don't know if He had a cloak of invisibility. I don't know how Jesus did it. I don't know if He made Himself look like, you know, John Doe, but He hid Himself. And He walks out of the temple. He doesn't run. He didn't fight him off. He just, right? He's the Son of God. And so He walks by, John 9 verse 1, He walks by a man who had been blind from birth. I tried to imagine this. Try to imagine this with me. Try to imagine having never seen. What would it be like to grow up and you've never seen a thing ever? And someone talks to you about, you know, you're blind. Most people can see, but you can't see. You were born that way. What do you mean? Well, anyway, this is the man. He's blind. And Jesus comes across him, and He's, of course, going to heal him. And so Jesus makes some mud in the dirt. He puts it on the man's eyes. He tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man does, and he comes back seeing. So when he does that, he is healed by Jesus. His neighbors see him, and some of the neighbors are amazed. Oh my goodness, this man can see. He's been healed. Other neighbors say, that's not him. You got the wrong man. There's no way that happened. You're confused. That's not him. He keeps saying, I'm the guy. Jesus healed me. And so there's this dispute. Well, they take him. They basically capture him. And they take him, verse 13, to the Pharisees. And then look at this. Guess what? Verse 14. Excuse me just a second. Verse 14. We find out it is the Sabbath day. Well, the fact that it's the Sabbath is a problem. Not to Jesus. It's not a problem to God. But the fact that it's a Sabbath, that's the Pharisees' ticket. Imagine being an attorney and you're trying to prove a point, and it doesn't matter what evidence you need to use to prove it. You just need to make a case. That's this. The Pharisees are against Jesus. They find out it happened on the Sabbath, and they're after him, and they're after the man about it. And they keep questioning the man. And in John 9:25, finally, they keep questioning this man who's been healed. And he finally says, I don't know if he's a sinner, about Jesus. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. And that's your message for the world. All I know is what God has done for me. All I know is I was dead in my sins. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what God's done for you. I don't know how he saved you. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know what brought that about. I don't know how your heart was broken or heavy or burdened. I know for me, I remember laying in bed at night and knowing I had sin on my record against Almighty God, and I didn't know what to do about it. I knew I had a problem. I didn't have an earthly problem. I had a spiritual problem. You ever felt that? Guilt, spiritual guilt. The Bible talks about that. Godly sorrow that leads to repentance and salvation. And I had that, and I was at an age when I knew about sin, and so I knew what I felt, but I didn't know the solution. And when I learned the solution, and I remember having those sins washed away in baptism and becoming a Christian and becoming saved, that's what Jesus has done for me. And he's continued to, as 1 John 1:7, walk in the light as he is in the light. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And God, through Jesus, has continued to do that for me. I don't know what your story is. But our world needs to hear our stories, doesn't it? Our world needs to know that there's something out there to solve their sin problem and what God has done for you. You ever had something that was good and it worked good and you just wanted to tell somebody about it? You guys, your smartphones are great until they go dead, right? Your phone's going dead. Anybody feel the panic? It's going down. Where's my charger? I've got to charge this. Can I? So keeping your phone continually charged back up is kind of an issue. And so, where's my phone? I need my phone. Hold on. So a little while back, I discovered this deal. This charger, and I'm thrilled with this thing, by the way. So you know how your typical charger, you plug it in and it's hard to plug in, right? You have a hard time plugging it in? Ever be driving down the road like I am? My phone's on my doodad on my dash, and I notice my battery's low. I need to charge this. And I have a cord in the truck, and I'm driving. I need two hands to plug that thing in, right? Anybody understand? Nod your head if you understand what I'm saying. All right. Kenny, you're going to assist me. So look at this. So I bought this cord. About $15, $20, you can get two of these, right? And so this is USB that plugs into the wall charger thing. And this is what connects to the phone. Now, you hold that for a second. So what plugs into my phone is this magnetic little doodad. So this plugs into my phone and stays in the phone. And then hold it out. I'll show you how to hold it. Hold it about like that. Okay? So then, boom, it's connected, right? It's plugged in. Now, I can pull it off with one hand. I'm driving. I'm still driving safely. You see what I'm saying? Y'all understand this? Thank you. Isn't that a good-looking cord, Kenny?
That is.
Right. You need one of these. So, when you have something that's good, it's not hard to talk about it, is it? And so for me, and this is no joke. I mean, I really do like this. This is one of the things in my life that makes my life better, folks. Okay? It really does. So my point is, why are we not this way with Christ? Why are we not this way with our God? Has God not done anything for us? Has He not made our life better? Has He not changed our life? Sometimes maybe it is the fact that, you know, we're talking about drawing people to Christ and to our congregation. In other words, if it's people you know in the community, the thought is, you know, I'd like maybe like to invite them to what we call church. We are the church, but a church service. And maybe sometimes we hesitate because we know all the problems in our church body. We know all the problems in the congregation, right? Many of you know the problems in this family. But I've invited people to a football game down in Norman before, and would you believe it? If you go to a game down there, you know how life used to be. Anyway, 90,000 people in one place, would you believe that there's lines and there's crowds and the bathrooms are not always the easiest thing to use, and don't even try to go to the concession stand at halftime? Would you believe it's hot as can be in September or super cold in December? And all these problems they'd have no bearing on me inviting someone to go to a game. Does that make sense? It doesn't hold us back to do things that we want to do. And don't let that be a reason why you don't share your faith or share the gospel. One time I tried to open the door for a woman thinking that I was doing good. I went to open the door for her and she said, "I can open the door." I said, "All right." Sometimes we don't want to say anything because we don't know. We think they're going to reject it. We think they're going to reject our faith. By the way, Kenny, if you don't want one of these, I can tell you where to get one or where to find one. I showed you how it worked. If you don't want one, that's your business. You know what I mean? It's a good cord, though. Anyway, I like to drive safely. It's just me. But sometimes the gospel loses its contagiousness because we have already thought ahead of what might happen. And the fact is, and this is really the main message I want to share with you today, this scripture. Paul talks about these different men who were leaders in the church at the time, and people were getting sideways because they were aligning with certain men. There was division in the church. And some were following Paul, and some were following Apollos. And Paul makes a statement in verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth." The kingdom of God is about God. Christianity is about Christ. The church is about Christ. It's about unity and it's about a Savior. And so I remind you, our job is to plant seeds. We have these shirts. LTC had to be canceled this year because of coronavirus. And Yvette and I coach our chorus kids. And so when we went to LTC last year, the ones that participated in chorus had t-shirts that we all looked alike, right? So these were the shirts for this year. So we ordered these ahead of time. We already had them. And so we went ahead and distributed them to the kids. And so even though we didn't get to go to LTC, all right? But we chose these shirts partly because of how soft the fabric was advertised, right? So when we get these in, I take one home. And I hadn't worn it. And Yvette would come to work and she would say, "Ellie, you got to wear that shirt. It is so comfortable. It is my favorite shirt. It is so soft." And I said, "Yeah, I know it's soft. I mean, I get it. I've got other soft shirts. It's great. Look here. Write down how soft this shirt is, Ron. Look here. I want you to feel the material, not the printing, but the material. Bert, feel that. Yes. Feel that. Is that soft? Yeah. So here's the deal. I didn't wear that for a while, and then one day I thought, you know what? I think I'll wear that today. Sis said that was super comfortable, and that's her favorite shirt. So I said, okay, I'll wear it. Fine. One day I wore it. Now it's my favorite shirt. Because she planted a seed. Make sense? I didn't go home and wear it that day. But that stuck with me later. There came a time later when I saw it in the closet and I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll just wear that one. After all, she said it was her favorite shirt. It's a seed. And our job is to sow seeds. We sow them, We water them. We do not give the increase. That's between God Almighty and the individual soul, the individual person who makes a choice just like you and I did. We've got to give them what they need to be able to make a choice. Church, we need Christians. We need to be more contagious. We need this world needs Christ. So I remind you, we're all distracted and we have a lot of things on our mind and a lot of worries. I remind you, our number one job, go make disciples. Spread the gospel. Share. Let people see Christ in you. Let them see something different in you. We have to let them see what Christ is and continue spreading. So we give God our heart and we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if you're here this morning and in your heart, maybe your heart is weighed down with sin. Maybe you've never had your sins washed away in baptism. You've never given your life to Christ. You love God. You love Christ. You believe, but you've never submitted. And if we could help you with that, we'd love to. Or anything you need, if you would come while we stand and sing.
Merciful Savior.